I thank God for all who have led us in worship today, and we are in a sermon series called Holistic Missions. We're looking at various aspects of the mission God has given us as God's people. Today, I want to draw your attention to a long and fascinating story in the book of Acts. Because it is so long, if I read the whole thing, I wouldn't have any time to preach. So I'm going to read a portion at the beginning and then another portion later on in Acts chapter 10. I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. And the title of today's sermon is Three Themes for Everyday Missionaries. In Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of the Italian cohort, as it was called. He was a devout man who feared God with all his household. He gave alms generously to the people and prayed constantly to God. One afternoon at about 3 o'clock, he had a vision in which he clearly saw an angel of God coming in and saying to him, "Cornelius." He stared at him in terror and said, "What is it, Lord?" He answered, "Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa for a certain Simon who is called Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside." When the angel who spoke to him had left, he called two of his slaves and a devout soldier from the ranks of those who served him, and after telling them everything, he sent them to Joppa. About noon the next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat, and while it was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw the heaven opened and something like a large sheet coming down, being lowered to the ground by its four corners. In it were all kinds of four-footed creatures and reptiles and birds of the air. Then he heard a voice saying, "Get up, Peter. Kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is profane or unclean." The voice said to him again a second time, "What God has made clean, you must not call profane." This happened three times, and the thing was suddenly taken up to heaven. Now at verse 34, then Peter began to speak to them, "I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all." That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. How he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses, and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they invited him to stay for several days. Let us pray. Lord God, in this preaching moment, I simply ask that you would help me to speak your word. Help them to hear your word. And Lord, help us all to do your word. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The story of Cornelius is a fascinating account with much to teach us. Today, I want to focus on three themes of this great story that can inform Christian mission work both near and far. Each Christian is an everyday missionary who does well to keep these three themes in mind. The first theme I want to highlight is that Christian missionaries participate in the work God is already doing. No Christian arrives anywhere that God is not already present. God is already there, already initiating, already working, already extending grace. According to verse 3, an angel of God reached out to Cornelius in a vision before he ever heard the gospel or met the apostle Peter. Verse 19 indicates that the Holy Spirit led Peter toward Cornelius to share the gospel with him. God is always out in front of us, working, arranging, and designing for the purpose of redemption. In Christian theology, this is called the doctrine of prevenience. God always precedes us. God is always working before we are. God does not follow our lead or respond to our initiative. We follow God's lead and respond to God's initiative. Peter had no intention of sharing the gospel with the Gentiles, much less a specific Gentile centurion named Cornelius. But God was already working in Cornelius's life, and God was already working in Peter's life, and God brought the two men together at just the right time. The late pastor Eugene Peterson wrote, "Prevenience is the conviction that God has been working diligently, redemptively, and strategically before I appeared on the scene, before I was aware there was something here for me to do." Christians do not force our predetermined agenda upon God, but rather we seek to discern what God is already up to so that we can join in God's work. Deuteronomy 31:8 says, "The Lord your God goes before you." Matthew 28:7 says that when the women discovered Jesus' empty tomb, an angel said to them, "He is going ahead of you to Galilee." God does not drag along behind us as if we were the vanguard of grace. God always goes before us. The living Savior is always out ahead of us. Every aspect of Christian mission work is an effort to participate in what God is already graciously doing to redeem the world. The mission is God's mission, not ours. The grace is God's grace, not ours. The work is God's work, not ours. We are along for the ride as willing participants in the mission of God. The second theme I want to highlight in this great story is that Christian missionaries undergo transformation in our own life so that we can help facilitate transformation in other people's lives. You'll notice in the story that before Cornelius is converted by the gospel, Peter the missionary undergoes a conversion of sorts. Peter was born and raised Jewish. He lived a Jewish life among Jewish people. He read Jewish scriptures and followed a Jewish Messiah. He kept the Jewish Sabbath and adhered to the Jewish food laws, which prohibited eating several types of animals, including pigs. So when God gave Peter a vision of all kinds of four-footed animals, reptiles, and birds, and said, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat," Peter said, "No way. I've never eaten anything unclean or profane. That's against my religion." The voice said, "What God has made clean, you must not call profane." This happened three times. The repetition was necessary to get the point across because Jewish food laws were considered sacrosanct. They were not regarded as mere cultural standards, but as the revealed will of God in Holy Scripture. As Bible scholar Bradley Chance notes, the importance many Jews attached to obeying the food laws is illuminated in the ancient book of 2 Maccabees. 2 Maccabees tells of a Jewish scribe named Eleazar, whom the authorities forced to eat pork. It says, "But he, welcoming death with honor rather than life with pollution, went up to the rack of his own accord, spitting out the food, as all ought to go who have the courage to refuse things that it is not right to taste." 2 Maccabees also tells of seven brothers whom the king tortured and killed because they refused to eat pork. Their mother watched them die a martyr's death, encouraging each of them to remain faithful to the end. And then she herself died a martyr for the same reason. Now, it may be difficult for us to imagine that refusing to eat pork could be so radically equated with faithfulness to God. But Peter held this conviction as a first century Jewish man. He likewise thought that Gentiles like Cornelius, who did eat pork, were outside the boundaries of God's people. Yet, after Peter received a vision of unclean foods and heard a voice telling him not to call them unclean anymore, Peter changed his mind. Lest we underestimate the gravity of this reversal, consider that Peter here trusted his spiritual experience against his reading of Holy Scripture. His Bible, which we call the Old Testament, says multiple times that eating pork is strictly prohibited. Peter's experience gives us pause to ask, how is God asking us to change so that we can more effectively reach out to others? What transformation is God seeking to work in our lives so that we can connect with others and facilitate transformation in their lives? What new thing is God doing in us and through us that requires us to rethink, readjust, and realign with God's way forward? Peter's change of mind shows that the Christian mission entails new learning and fresh perspectives. The mission field doubles as a classroom. The renowned British missionary to India, Leslie Newbegin, wrote, "The fulfillment of the mission of the church thus requires that the church itself be changed and learn new things." God does not send us out as missionaries because we already know everything. God sends us to reach out to others so that we can learn surprising new things as we witness for the gospel in word and in deed. The gospel ultimately led to a change in Cornelius's life, but only after Peter willingly changed his life in accordance with God's leading. The third theme I want to highlight is that Christian missionaries, whether career missionaries overseas or everyday missionaries right here, Christian missionaries proclaim the gospel. This may seem obvious, I know, but it is vital. Some people think evangelism is inappropriate in our modern-day pluralistic society. Some interpreters look at Cornelius's prayers and alms in verses 1 through 2 and conclude that we don't need to mediate God for people because God has a direct line. In fact, one of the first things we learn about Cornelius is that his prayers ascended to God as a memorial. At the time, Cornelius was neither a Jew nor a Christian. He was a devout, God-fearing Gentile who gave alms and prayed constantly. And God heard his prayers, says the scripture. And God received them like a sacrifice offered by a priest in the holy temple. The Apostle Paul reflected on people like Cornelius in Romans 2, 14 through 15, where he wrote, "When Gentiles, who do not possess the Old Testament law, do instinctively what the law requires, these, though not having the law, are a law to themselves. They show that what the law requires is written on their hearts, to which their own conscience also bears witness." Paul here affirms that Gentiles, who are neither Jewish nor Christian, sometimes instinctively act as God intends for people to act. Although they lack access to Holy Scripture, they live according to God's law by following their conscience. Since Cornelius's piety was rising as a memorial to God before he ever heard the gospel, some conclude that people should be left to relate to God on their own terms. However, the moral of this story is not to withhold the gospel so people can relate to God without it. The moral of the story is to spread the gospel widely, respectfully, and indiscriminately. As the first epistle of Peter tells us, we are to always be ready to share the reason for the hope that we have. And we are to do this with gentleness and respect. Peter could write these words in a letter with integrity because he practiced what he preached. In Acts 10:34, he gently and respectfully begins his message to Cornelius and his people by saying, "I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him." He went on to tell them that Jesus went about doing good and healing people, and that Jesus is Lord of all. He told them that Jesus was put to death on a tree, but God raised him from the dead on the third day, and he ended his message to Cornelius and Cornelius's people by saying, "Everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." Cornelius and his people heard the message. They received the Holy Spirit, and they were baptized. When I was pastoring in Tennessee, we had a weekly pickup game of basketball in our church gym, one weeknight each week. It was led by a lay leader in our church, primarily as an outreach to men in the community. Only two or three of our church members played basketball at these Monday night pickup games. The other 10 or 15 people that would come were men that lived in town and had no other connection to our church. Well, I went and started playing with them, and I would play, I guess, every other week for a while. And after a few months of playing, I started to feel like God was leading me to share the gospel with these guys. I was a little uncomfortable with this sense of leading because I didn't know if they'd want to hear the gospel in between ball games. And I didn't want the ball game to become such a religious event that it would run people off. you know, away from the church. Even though I was uncomfortable with it, I really felt like the Spirit was leading me to do this. And after three or four more weeks of kind of resisting it, God finally changed me. And one night, in between games, I grabbed the ball and I held it under the arm so they couldn't start. And I said, "Guys, if you could just give me just 3 minutes, I want to share something with you." And I shared the gospel with them. And then I told them that if I or the church could ever help them, to let me know. And they nodded their heads and checked the ball, and the next game began. Well, I started sharing the gospel with these guys about once every 2 months after that. Every time, especially when I saw a new person had come to play with us, I would make sure to share the good news with them. I would tell them that God loves each of them, that Christ died for their sins on the cross. I would tell them that they could receive forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And I would encourage them, if they ever were considering baptism and faith, to come and talk to me. Well, this went on for months and months, well over a year. There was hardly any response at all, except they would clap sometimes when I finished, and then they'd play the next game. There was one guy who came to a couple of Sunday morning worship services, then he moved out of town. But one Monday night, in between games, I had to sit out because we lost. One of the guys came up to me and he said, "Hey, could I meet with you sometime?" And I said, "Yes, I'd love to." And the next week, we met in my office. And he shared with me how he was discerning how he should live his life and how he should handle a relationship that he was in. And he went on to share very openly with me about sins that he has committed. And he also told me that he had been watching documentaries about Christianity. And I knew then that God was working in his life long before I ever showed up on the scene. But he told me that he had also listened to what I said in between ball games, and that he wanted to put his faith in Christ and be baptized. And we prayed together that day. We met again another time or two to talk about faith and salvation and baptism and forgiveness. And we talked about how God can forgive any sin that anyone has committed. And one Sunday morning, during a worship service right there in the sanctuary, I baptized him in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, right down the hall from where we met playing basketball. His name is not Cornelius, and my name certainly is not Peter. But the story of Acts continues today. The same God still goes before us, extending grace before we ever do a thing. The same crucified Savior still forgives sins, any and all sins, of those who have faith in His name. The same Holy Spirit still works transformation in our lives so that we can facilitate transformation in the lives of others, and the same mission of the early apostles is our mission here and now, to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ widely, respectfully, and indiscriminately in word and in deed. Amen.